Introducing Ladies Night in the first ever Toyota Corolla Cross.
Girl, I need to get out.
So, your three-woman crew is all ready to hit the town in your Corolla Cross when two more friends decide to crash the party.
Hey, girl.
Can we roll with you guys tonight?
No worries, ladies. Sheila's Corolla Cross seats five comfortably. So not only can everyone go, the crew gets to roll out feeling like royalty.
Okay, queens. Y'all ready to do this?
All right.
Room for the entire squad makes everything feel right in the first ever Corolla Cross. Toyota, let's go places.
Rusty Quill presents Chapter and Multiverse.
Hello, hello! You're looking rather dashing today, if I may say so. Please sit down. I'll fetch you your usual tipple in just a moment. But I can tell what's really on your mind. Our ongoing superhero saga, am I right? Of course I am. Well, last time I mentioned that Adib had set off all on his own to seek out his former friend, Poltergeist. Rather reckless, wouldn't you say?
Hello and welcome back to Chapter and Multiverse, the actual play podcast where we explore the same city across multiple parallel universes. I am your game master, Maddie Searle. My pronouns are she, her. And today we are continuing our campaign of Masks and New Generation, which is designed by Brendan Conway and allows players to take on the role of young superheroes. But before we go any further, I must introduce our wonderful and talented players. Could you please let me know your name and pronouns and your character's name and pronouns, starting with Pip?
Hi there, I'm Pip Gladwin, and I will be playing Joseph Teller, a.k.a. Zenith, and we're both he, him, and definitely not surveilling you as we speak.
Excellent. And Lowry?
Hello, I'm Lowry Ann Davis, and I am playing Bludeweth Morgan, a.k.a. Siphon, just having a lovely time making friends. She, her for both of us.
Wonderful. And Lydia?
Hi, Lydia Nicholas, and I will be playing Minnie Smithson, she, her.
Fantastic. And Ahmed?
Hi, I'm Ahmed Al-Jabri, and I am, as always, stoked to be here. Mm. I'm playing Adib bin Yaslam, a.k.a. The Turban. Adib's pronouns are he and him.
Beautiful. Okay, so last we left off, you had met a young woman at the Clear Vision Trading Building and brought her back to the Grey Box for safety, as you discovered that UTBC, the nefarious, you assume, news organization, had been spying on you as you had been investigating. Minnie finally revealed to Zenith that she was in fact an alien.
Mm-hmm. Shocking.
Yeah.
Shocking turn
Shock
up
horror.
For the books. Who could have predicted?
Yes.
But fortunately, her secret is still safe from literally every other human.
Yes. And Adib had just set out on his own to try and track down Poltergeist, his former friend turned supervillain. So, as we get this episode started, what exactly is Adib doing? Is there any particular place he's going to look? You do know that Poltergeist, aka Lucas Castillo's brother, Felix, lives somewhere in the city and is part of the reason for Poltergeist behavior.
Adib would, after he leaves the building, he would change his outfit to something entirely different, pulls out his hoodie, covering his hair and his face as much as possible, just not to be identified by anyone. And he would first attempt to go to Lucas's place, just to watch from outside if he stops by and see his brother, because he does that sometime, but he would spend a couple of hours staying nearby and just checking out if he goes there.
Nice. Okay. Could you please just roll me a d6 and tell me if you get a 1 to 3 or a 4 to 6?
Is this assist or just a roll?
Just a luck roll just to see what All happens.
Right, d6. And I got a 3. Right smack in the middle.
All right. Yeah. Unfortunately, as you're sitting watch, You can see the flicker of lights from a television screen on the window as the city around you gets darker and darker, and the occasional kind of shadow as Felix moves from the chair to the kitchen and back. There's nothing else happening. The occasional dog barking in the distance. And after a couple of hours, you conclude that this is not one of the times that Poltergeist, aka Lucas, has chosen to visit his brother.
So if that happens, I would just head out to... I would probably know one or two locations where they hang out, him and his crew. And I will try to go anywhere near and just maybe see him or the other two that usually hang out with him. Drake and Hollow?
Yes, that's right. Yeah, please give me an assess the situation roll.
All right. And I have -2 to that because I am feeling guilty.
Oh, man.
So I rolled a 7.
Cool. All right. On a 7, it takes you most of the first part of the evening. It's getting on for, I don't know, 11:30 at night. And you manage to find the right dive bar where Drake is sitting at the bar with a whiskey in hand and is just looking moody at the bar. You can look in from outside, you can enter, whatever you want.
I would go somewhere like in the side of the... I'll just find a table far away where I can see them, and I will order something like a cola. Just sit there. And I would text Vera and say, Poltergeist, if he's caught, he gets help, not prison. And just ... It's not a question, it's not a statement, it's just very inconfident message.
Mm-hmm. I think you probably takes a while, because Vera's probably like been asleep, but she probably has an alert, so if something comes through, then she'll wake up and have a look at it. And you get a kind of about 20 minutes later, you get a message back saying, do you have any intelligence that would lead you to this conclusion?
I would text back, some people need help, not to get locked up.
She says, I would agree, but perhaps this is something to discuss in the morning.
All right, so I dropped the topic because I don't have anything to convince them or just... Did anybody else show up during this time?
Or did I think Drake probably... leave? Yeah, I think Drake probably recognized a couple of people that came in and just kind of said hi, but you don't recognize them as superpowered people. They're probably just fellow ne'er-do-wells that Drake knows. And so, yeah, it's a relatively quiet night for you.
Yeah, I continue drinking as much caffeinated drinks, non-alcoholic ones, just to stay up.
Cool, yes. And I think eventually Drake just gets up and heads out, probably slightly swaying from the amount of alcohol he's consumed. And the barman calls for last orders and everyone starts to shuffle out.
I would just try to follow around, just see where he's going.
Cool. Okay.
I would text Zenith.
All right.
Mm.
You up?
Hey.
Depends what time it is.
At this point, it's probably like 2 a.m.
No, I'm not, but I think I have, you know, I've got notifications on all the time, you know. What if Aquila needs me to do something in the middle of the night?
Is this on human friends or is this a private message?
Is it in the group chat?
I'm texting him privately.
Ooh.
Yeah, you just get a message back, sort of probably about 10 seconds later, just saying, yeah, what's up?
I drop the location, which is the dive bar, and then I just look around, spend a few seconds before I start texting again, which is obviously sending a very confused message until I elaborate. I found Drake.
I'll be right there. And then the others? Question mark.
I don't answer because I don't know what to do.
Okay.
The drama!
But I am jittery now with all the caffeine.
Yep.
And with the guild, because I'm not sure, and I'm worried that there would be too many people, and I don't want to involve too many people as well. Like, this is me. This is my responsibility. But I trust Zenith to be the one who knows what to do best.
Sure. I'm not saying that it's not in character. It's just drama!
Sure. Out of game. Maddie.
Yes.
And also, Laurie and Lydia. This is probably going to be a thing, right? Like, if I just go and it's just me and Adib,
yeah,
then it's going to be like, me and Adib probably get in a fight with this guy.
That's cool. We can come rescue you. Don't worry.
I mean, Morgan's turning up in the morning with plants. So.
We will be there with Bluebell probably to rescue you. Don't worry about it.
I just wanted to check in with everyone else and just because it would make sense for me to also just be like, yeah, but, you know, we don't know how tough this guy is, so... I'm just going to call everybody.
Whatever
right now,
you think the character would do.
Do whatever
right?
you think is,
okay.
yeah.
Okay,
like, I trust Zenith would know best from the information he knows so far, because he probably searched his system for all the information about the people that I mentioned.
Yeah. Well, also, I think the smart team choice is to get everyone involved, because we have safety and numbers and all that kind of thing. I'm still not the best smart team guy, so I think it makes sense for me to go, oh, you're going off on like a solo mission. I love those.
Yeah, no, I
agree.
There's less human factors to consider.
Absolutely.
What decision would Zenith make at, like, whatever this is, 2-3 in the morning?
Yeah.
With his betrayal of Minnie, fresh as mine. What do you do?
Hey, if that's a betrayal, I've been betraying all of you constantly since we met. So, yes, I would like to make a been reading the files roll just real quick, because I'd love to know anything about this Drake guy.
For sure. Go
this
for
is
it.
Probably something I did earlier in the evening, but I'm going to,
Yeah, no worries.
Hey, that's a 9.
Beautiful. Okay. You would probably know from your research that this is a very confident and charismatic guy that can lose his temper quite easily. And as you heard from Adib, can breathe fire and he can direct it very precisely. He can either like narrow it down to a very precise point or he can fan it out into a massive kind of wave of flame.
Mm-hmm.
And you also find that he associates with Hollow and with Poltergeist. You also see that he's been associated with various like bank robberies, jewelry store robberies. If there's a place where valuable things are kept, it's likely that he's taken things from there.
Right. Cool. Apart from being able to breathe fire, does he have any other superpowers? Is he otherwise a normal human?
Yeah, I think he appears to be otherwise normal human, but maybe more athletically gifted than, but just in a way that a human would be, not in a superpowered way.
Gotcha. Okie doke. I will quietly, which is something I'm very good at. I think Joseph like has been sleeping for the last couple of hours on the sofa, the really uncomfortable sofa, because he wouldn't have given Bluebell the bedroom in this place. Yeah, I think he's just very, very quietly going to suit up and top in the little lift. And then just because I'm, you know, you gave it to me up top, Maddie, so I'm going to use the stealth jet whenever it makes sense to.
For sure.
Plug in those coordinates that Adib gave me and zip on over. Super stealthy. It's nighttime also, so now this thing is basically just invisible. It's extremely hard to see. It's like a slightly darker patch of darkness in the sky. And I will drop out of that. Swing down and, you know, I don't know, probably land next to Adib without Adib realizing that I have, and then like tap him on the shoulder.
I knew you'd know exactly where I am when I gave you the live feed, but I did not expect this.
Yeah, the jet has pretty accurate GPS.
Well, good to know.
I love that it's still GPS. It's not like LiDAR or anything. It's just like I put in the postcode.
Yeah, got a little TomTom in the window.
Falls off the dashboard.
Yeah. It automatically selects the fastest Google Maps.
I don't know really about convenient. Smart stuff.
Fly stealthily to the right.
I just put it into City Mapper. I just put Adib into City Mapper and it told me where it was.
Yeah. Take the 122
I really
bus.
Like the idea that Zenith genuinely does interact with it like that and has no concept that like Aquila has upgraded it. So
yeah. Surely everyone's phones do this.
Surely everyone's phones tell you where specific people are.
Find my friends and my enemies and my acquaintances and just that guy over there. Find him.
Where does he live? Okay.
All right. What do you want to ask this guy some questions?
Well, for now, I want to see where they're hiding out. Because they change places all the time.
Okay.
So we're just tailing them.
You go low, I'll go high.
Okay. I continue walking after him, just keeping my distance, as long as he's within eye view of me.
Yeah, I will do the same thing, except from the rooftops.
Excellent.
100% get one of those shots of, like, a building, and then another building, and then the moon, and I'll do a little flip past it.
Yeah. I would like for both of you to either give me an assess the situation roll or an unleash your powers roll, whichever you think is more appropriate. I feel like for Zenith, possibly unleash your powers.
Yeah, I'll take it. I'll take it.
I feel like I'm stretching these moves quite a lot, but I want to have a bit of chance in there.
That is totally fine. Just a 6. That's a failure for me.
Yeah, and that's a failure for me as well on assess.
But I do a flip and then like just smack into the side down the side of a building.
Oh man. Ouch.
My knees just break immediately.
Oh no, Lid.
Yeah, a little error message flashes up on your screen.
You suck. You suck.
Abort flip.
Just immediately has the recommended training schedule that you'll be doing over the next 6 months to not make that mistake again.
But I will mock potential.
Yeah.
Yay!
For a deep side of things.
Also, it's a failure.
Yeah, also gets potential. And I think what happens is a very rowdy, like, hen party, a bride-to-be and her gaggle of friends are just being extremely loud and just kind of surround you and, like, get you all turned around and, yeah, you completely lose your sense of direction and lose where Drake is going.
Excuse me. I'm sorry. I'm trying to pass through. Excuse me. And I'm trying to keep my distance, not to touch anyone who's drunk.
Yeah, they're just having a lovely time and it's all fine. And so, yeah, what do you want to do at this point? You've lost your quarry. Do you want to continue trying to track him down, or do you want to call it a night?
I'd love to try I'd love to give it one more shot, try and relocate him. Otherwise, this has been a very embarrassing venture once more.
Yeah, go for it.
Can I assess, or am I doing something else?
Yeah, you can either assess or unleash.
I'm going to try assessment this time, because I am a little better at that. There we go. Oh, wow, that is a terrible roll. The dice do tell a story. That's a 6, that's another fail.
All right, yeah. I think there's, like, a particularly powerful, like, someone's rigged up a homemade kind of satellite dish, and it's really messing with your electronics. It's just completely interfering with all your tracking devices. And so, yeah, you're just getting this annoying little whine in your ears that is just completely putting you off your game.
Okay, this has been enough times now, so I'm just going to do it myself for fun. I think having now failed a couple of times in a row, the previous mission didn't go great, that didn't go great, I'm going to shift my labels. I think my superior's going down. Like, I'm out in the field now with people and I'm not actually doing as good of a job as I kind of thought I would. So I would like to pitch for taking my superior down and putting my mundane up by 1.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Go for it.
All right, so that takes my superior down to a +2, and that puts my mundane up to a +1.
Oh, he's literally gone down a peg.
Mm-hmm.
Well, while you're going through that, you hear
on a roof.
you hear Adib on the comms.
Help me!
And I'm being. You hear loud
dancing
noses dancing, and I'm being chubbed. To go with them to some dance club.
Yeah, they're just like dragging you along to this club.
I think I'll walk to the edge of the building and kind of just look down and kind of watch this happening, watching Adib just being like, no! Like, pulled away by all these well-meaning but ultimately quite drunk women. And just a tiny vindictive part of Joseph's brain is just like, leave him. And I will think better of that. And because I'm not a hugely responsible human being, I'm going to toss a smoke bomb down there. Just in their path. And again, this isn't an explosive, this is a device that like releases smoke. So there's no there's no boom, it's just a like a steady release, so that eventually, Adib, you're, you know, just in this pall of smoke with all these people who become confused and hopefully give you the opportunity to get away.
Within this the cover of the smoke, before I attempt to run, I would put on everyone some kind of like a face mask from made of cloth.
That's and so just thoughtful. Run away,
because I don't want them to inhale the smokes.
It's just non-toxic, they'll be fine.
I don't know that.
That's fair.
Nothing about Joseph's equipment so far has given you an indication.
All the movies that Eve has seen, people start coughing after a smoke bomb, so...
The bride is wearing a little fake veil, a little fake bridal veil, and it just suddenly turns into a mask. And then all of the others who are wearing sashes that say, like, hen party, are just suddenly tied around their faces. They're just very confused. And that both that and the smoke bomb is enough to allow you room to escape.
Okay, so I just run away and meet up with Joseph.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Thanks.
That's all right. I lost them. Sorry.
It's all my fault. I'm really sorry about this. I should have brought you with me from the start.
This is to do with Poltergeist, right?
Yeah, it's Poltergeist.
You know them, don't you?
I know. We were childhood friends. We grew up almost together. We knew each other from middle school, and it's... I don't want the police to catch him and throw him in prison. I know why he's doing all of this. He needs help.
Okay.
I don't know what to do anymore. And Adib just sits down on the ground, absolutely defeated.
Human emotion.
I love that everyone is having a moment with Zenith. This is just the most unequipped person.
Shoulders. It's just all shoulders, just kind of like...
Yeah, up by the ears.
You still have a condition on you, right?
Yeah, guilty.
Okay, I'm gonna kind of... Zenith just kind of steps over to where you're sort of sitting down and like pats you on the shoulder. Just like...
I didn't have a lot of friends growing up, but sounds like this person's important to you.
Yeah.
So we can help them. They're mixed up in this UTBC thing. We get to the bottom of that. Maybe we can get them out. I don't know.
What if? All this time I'm looking for him, he's already doing something else stupidly and hurting other people. How am I helping him now? I'm just failing him all the time. All I'm doing is just listen to damage he's causing, but I'm never able to reach him. It's just...
At least you're trying as you're making your own decisions.
Like to make the roll to comfort or support.
Fantastic. Please do it with your newly plus
my
one mundane.
Newly plus one mundane. Yay. Don't fail. Otherwise, that's just going to flip right back again.
Oh, no.
Here we go. Come on. Good dice. Oh, no.
I imagine that is the sound that Zenith actually makes, but the vocoder is set up so that it doesn't get through.
So that it does not translate weakness. Yeah. That is a big old four.
Oh, dear.
Oh, no.
You are not comforted or supported by me in this moment, but I did try.
Mark potential.
We all know that Zenith tried.
Yep. That's all I've got. I think this just... I go quiet, and then I'm basically just kind of like rhythmically sort of patting you on the back for like 5 seconds before I sort of stop and just kind of stand there awkwardly, not really knowing how to interact with you.
I gotta go. I get up. I need to go do something. I can't just keep sitting like this.
Yeah, sure. We're gonna meet up by the Grey Box in the morning.
Yeah.
Figure out our next move.
And I just tuck my hands in my pockets and just walk away, head hung down.
All right. Yeah. After that moment of vulnerability, we're going to take a very short break and be right back. And welcome back. We have just had Adib opening up to Zenith about his relationship with Poltergeist as a former friend. And now I assume you're both heading back to your homes to go to bed and wait until the morning for the meetup at the Grey Box. Am I correct?
Yes.
Adib is just going to hit the streets. He won't go anywhere specific. He's just going to wander around until morning and goes there up all night.
Okay. No worries.
Find some low-level crime.
Yeah.
All right. So, yeah. As you're wandering around the streets, Adib, you can see the grey light of the morning kind of slowly beginning to stream between the skyscrapers. And eventually, the sun is high enough in the sky that you think it's probably a reasonable time to go to the Grey Box and check in on everyone. So yeah, what time do you think that Morgan would arrive laden with ferns?
Well, Morgan would have aimed for 9, but obviously be a bit late. So at about 9:10, with boxes full of cacti, because our first job was to, you know, cactus man. She's got 3 rubber plants, some orchids, so maybe we could brighten up the place as well. And yes, one huge fern. Like, I googled how tall ferns grow. Apparently it's about 4 foot. This is a 4 foot fern. Morgan is very good at looking after plants. She's laden with greenery.
Amazing.
Sweet. And how about Minnie? What's Minnie coming into this day thinking about?
Minnie is thinking that, like, that was a really hard-hitting piece that she wrote last night about how humans don't talk about being human, and that's something to really reflect on. Like, do they not realize that their humanity is a big part of how they perceive and react to the world? Do they assume that their perceptions and understandings are a default and a base of, like, correct understanding? It's such a strange and, like, alien way to think about things. She's really proud.
This is like the equivalent of a Pulitzer Prize winning piece that Minnie's potentially...
I don't think that she would ever be that. Like, she is writing for the Specmarcalon equivalent of BuzzFeed.
That's true.
And not the hard-hitting journalism element of BuzzFeed that used to exist before it was cut.
Yeah.
But the more, like... So she's written that as, like, a really heartfelt intro, and then there's a quiz where you can be like, which of these typical humans do you think that you would be?
Yeah.
It's cool, you know, it's cool, but she knows it'll probably not be as successful as Cleo's tips on what colour hair you should have to match the colour eyes this season on Earth.
This season's eyes.
Yeah.
Amazing, yes. So you all rock up at the Grey Box and you can start planning what your next move is if you so desire.
So Morgan's distributed the plants around the place. I hope you are happy with that, Zenith.
Yeah, of course. It's like our hideout, right? So put some plants out, yeah, sure.
And it's Bluebell's home for now. So, yes. Like, how are you feeling, Bluebell?
I'm okay, thanks. I've had these very generic cornflakes for breakfast, and they were fine.
They were exactly fine.
Yeah.
How obvious is it that Adib has not slept and feels guilty?
Yeah.
Well, he's not hiding it.
Right. Okay.
Like, he had nothing all night except caffeinated stuff, and he's coming over with coffee or something like that.
Adib, are you feeling... okay?
Yeah, I'm fine, yeah.
Okay. Face value. Excellent. So, what are we investigating?
Well, I think our biggest lead right now is UTBC.
Mm-hmm. Do you want to call me to call up my friend that works there and ask to spy?
You said your friend was an intern?
Yep.
They do tours?
Ooh, I'll ask. Mini texts. Micah Trent.
Absolutely. You get a message back pretty quickly. It is Monday morning, so he is probably just kind of sitting, waiting for someone to ask him for some coffee. So he's got time on his hands. He replies to you, "Hey, what's up? What do you need?"
Well, the tour that I asked about, like, do they do tours?
Yeah, actually, if you're thinking of going on the work experience program, you can join a tour to see if it's a career path you want to go down.
Oh, so it's like really backstage and in the workings of the organization. That sounds awesome. Thank you so much, Micah. Do you think that we could maybe book for this afternoon?
I can ask, yeah, for sure.
Oh, that's cool. Thank you. Heart, heart, heart. Like, smile, smile, smile. Emoji.
Shoo, shoo, shoo.
Yes, emoji of a shoe and a plant.
Yeah.
And a thumbs up.
Amazing. Yeah, he goes away and you get a message back about a couple of hours later saying, "What names do you want me to put down for the list? I've got it in front of me. I can pop your names down right now."
Minnie is about to say real names and then turns to everyone and says, "What pseudonyms do you want for the tour?"
Oh,
I'll have to use my real one because Micah knows my name, but that's fine.
I'll go for Fern Green, says Morgan, laughing at her own joke.
Cool.
Oh, well, what she thinks is a joke.
Expectant look at the other two.
Yeah, pick a name. Any name.
Just a normal human name.
You can be Lexus.
Yes.
Lamborghini. Yes.
Dynamo.
Yeah, Lexus Dynamo. And you can be...
John Smith is fine.
John Smith. Right. Both perfectly normal names.
I see no difference between those two names.
Yeah, yeah.
John Smith, Lexus Dynamo, it's fine. Just the same.
Yeah. Like, totally normal, not human, but like normal names. And Minnie winks at Zenith and then writes those down. It's just me, Minnie, and Fern Green, and Lexus Dynamo, and John Smith.
Yeah, Micah sends back a thumbs up emoji and says, "Yep, you're all down on the list for 4:30 p.m.
Thank you.
Great.
Oh, wow.
Well, oh, my gosh, Minnie. I'm going to get so much material for articles about this. Oh, and we'll investigate the crimes.
Should we look into this poltergeist person then, since we've...
That was going to be my question. It was going to be, do we just smash cut to the tour, or shall we do other business?
I think we've got a whole day until 4:30. I think we do some research.
Yeah, montage.
So does anyone know anything more about this poltergeist figure?
I can find out.
Files.
Yeah, boop, boop, Adib boop. Is starting to fall asleep on the couch, but he's like, he listens, but he's starting to fall asleep on the couch. Too tired to engage in this conversation.
Actually, this is potentially slight retcon-ish, but Morgan probably would have told her uncle about stuff and asked him if he knows anything about poltergeist.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, you can even like give him a ring now and see if he knows anything. Or,
well, I mean, she went home to see him last night, could she have asked him last night? Like, did he have any? Do I need to do a roll for that, or is that like?
I think that's probably part of your base, your kind of
my sanctuary.
Yeah, your sanctuary.
Cool. To have done that, I think I have to satisfy something from the GM. So I first have to like.
Are you satisfied, Maddie?
I'm unsatisfied.
Oh, no. So like, first I have to have done something, or I need help from, or risk danger. But one of them is I can't just mark a box on my doom track to have my sanctuary have helped in some way. So I could mark my first doom.
Yeah.
No, 9 episodes in.
Doom, yeah, let's
doom,
do it.
Doom,
yeah.
Doom.
You've been doom. So careful so far.
I know.
What happens if you get fully doomed?
Well, Lydia, that's the question, isn't it? Mm. What happens if I get fully
We'll
beamed?
Find out.
Mm. Hopefully we will. But the rate I'm going, we're never going to.
Cool. Yes, so last night, absolutely, you mentioned Poltergeist to Owain, and he scurried off into the library, looked around a few bits and pieces, had a look on the computer, went through some files, and came back. And, yeah, he would have come back to you and said, actually, this is kind of more on the personal side of things rather than the super-powered side of things. He obviously has telekinetic powers and stuff, and that's his main method of committing whatever crimes he's been up to. But it looks like that his brother, there's records of him having some kind of heart disease.
Oh.
And, yeah, this is very illegal. But you got to do what you got to do in these superpowered situations. But he doesn't have any kind of insurance or anything. He doesn't have any kind of support. So I don't know. Maybe that's the reason that Poltergeist's been doing what he's been doing. Because he's mostly been getting valuable things, presumably to sell.
Oh, right. So he kind of needs help, really. Presumably if Owain knows that, he can tell me his real name.
Yeah, yeah. The real name is Lucas Castillo, and his brother is Felix.
Cool. Then in that case, back in the present, Monday morning, add to Morgan's jauntiness about bringing all of the plans. She's also really excited because she's got information to share with her friends.
Cool.
Morgan, yeah, so, yeah, I found out that his name, Poltergeist's name is Lucas Castillo, and he's got a brother who's, like, really ill, and maybe that's why he's like doing all these bad things.
Hmm. Okay, firstly, what is Adib's reaction to us having this information? And then Minnie is going to predictably express confusion about why being ill would require you to do bad things. Mm. Much in the way that anyone that has experienced the NHS is confused by Breaking Bad.
Yeah,
Adib does not show any reaction. He has his eyes closed, he's kind of sleeping. Or taking a nap at this point. But he would not react in any way. He keeps all... Anything about Lucas, he keeps a secret.
Mm.
Hmm.
Like the real identity of Lucas.
Except to Zenith, the most, like, as we know, emotionally available, obviously.
Yeah. Yeah, so, I mean, I don't know how helpful that is in, like, finding him, but, it might be worth bearing in mind because, you know, sometimes people just need help rather than, you know, being taken down or killed or anything.
But is he hurting people while robbing these places?
That's a good question.
And, like, I mean, all the businesses, are they like, large businesses? Or are they, you know, is he scaring people and then they're traumatized and they need help? And, like, it seems like a cascading effect. Like, maybe we should just go to the source and tell him, like, this is not okay. Mm. How about you just kind of fix your country's healthcare system, which sounds really simple, and then, like, fix it all?
There's a mental checklist that Minnie has. There's prison industrial complex, mm-hmm, and then healthcare system right underneath.
Oh, there was homelessness as well.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, homelessness as well. Yeah.
Yeah, this is...
Minnie for president, frankly.
Yeah.
I don't know if you'd like her solutions.
Oh, God.
Manipulate matter. Fix it all.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, Zenith, you're good at stuff like this. Is there, like... Do you have any ways to find out where Poltergeist is, or Adib? Adib, are you sorry to wake you? But you said you know where Poltergeist hangs out. I think maybe we should go look, go try and find him.
Yeah, I went last night. He didn't turn out anywhere, and
you went without
us. You went without us
on your own. Wasn't that dangerous?
It's my responsibility.
If you need help, just call us, okay?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, I'm gonna do some comforting. This dude is not okay.
Yes, Minnie!
Sort it out.
So, I'll be like, Adib, you seem to feel bad about something, but everything that I've seen you do, you've tried your absolute best, and you seem really lovely and fashionable and friendly and kind, and I'm sure that whatever has happened is something that we can help you with. because we care about you, and we're teammates.
Yeah.
Gonna roll some dice.
Roll it.
Assess the genuineness of that sentiment. Ooh. So that's a 7, but then how is it altered? Because it's plus mundane, isn't it? Oh, my mundane is naught, so hey. That's a 7. That is a nice. Just about succeed.
Excellent, yeah. So you can absolutely clear your guilty condition, Adib, if you would like.
Do you open up to me? Because if you do, you can shift your labels.
You'd keep the condition, though.
Oh, it's or, yeah. So you have a choice. Clear the guilt, mark potential, or shift labels.
Mm-hmm.
Your choice. You can stay guilty.
I'm not sure. All of them are tempting.
Mm-hmm.
I would go the market potential.
Mm. It doesn't really fix the guiltiness. It just...
No, it's... He would just... It doesn't matter. At the end of the day, people are getting hurt.
Mm.
People are losing their properties. It's damaged. And at some point, somebody's going to get hurt too badly. And this is all my fault. I should have stopped him so many times before. I should have done more. Things shouldn't have led to him joining some bigger organizations.
Well, we're here now and we can help. We'll help as much as we can, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, for now, let's try to find where they're hiding.
Okay, so you don't have a lead? Morgan says gently.
There was... I found Drake last night. I tried to follow him, but... I lost track of him. Some people got me distracted.
Well, next time, call us. I mean, Zenith's really great at tracking people. So I'm sure if he'd been there, he would have been able to help. And like...
Are you trying to give him guilt condition?
Conditions are fun.
At the risk of being dramatic, but I am the doomed. So, and it's time I started behaving that way. I would like to have a dark vision.
Oh, it's time.
That is one of my doomed conditions that I took at the start, if people remember 9 episodes ago, and have not used yet. And we've never done this, so this is going to be a new thing. And I have a proposition, which Maddie, you can absolutely shoot down as GM. I think when Morgan has a vision... It requires a lot of energy, and she saps energy from the closest things to her without touching them and without intending to. Ooh. So this potentially could be a couple of doom points for her here, because she might accidentally hurt people or scare people.
Yep. Mm.
Is this a situation where, because obviously we're as players making decisions for our characters that aren't necessarily decisions our characters are making, right? So is this Morgan going, I'm activating my vision power now, it might hurt people, or Morgan is in this scene, maybe because we're all like, what's going on? Are we trying to find this person? Where could they be? And then that triggers it?
Yeah, I mean, that's the only shaky thing I have, is I'm not really sure what triggers it exactly here, but maybe just that we need something is what triggers it, because she's not doing it on purpose.
Yeah, we're all floundering for what to do, and Adib seems like really down about stuff. And
do you know what? It might be that she was so happy this morning. And now everyone seems to be so sad and despairing, and we're all floundering. And I think she just starts to feel a bit weird. Obviously, you don't see this. She's, from Morgan's point of view, she starts to feel a bit shaky. And then you just see her eyes roll to the back of her head. She drops to her knees and her head snaps back.
Uh-oh.
And she has a vision. And what I would like, so when I have a vision, I can ask the GM a question. Mm-hmm. Where will we find Poltergeist?
Yep. Excellent.
And I have to mark a doom. So that's 2 dooms now.
Can I also, like, while we may deal with this afterwards, after we've got the answer, I think that if that happens to Morgan, a couple of us would, well, definitely Minnie, probably possibly Bluebell, you know, would immediately like step forward to try and catch her.
Absolutely.
Which of course means that brings us close for energy suck. So how you want to play that, whether we like unknowingly, because I don't want to force your doom on you by being like, we go and help, and that hurts you.
No, I think you should absolutely behave as you would instinctually in character. And yeah, I think, I mean, Maddie, what I'm putting on you here is how far does it go? Mm-hmm. I think you touching me means I do absorb your energy and you will probably pass out.
What I might suggest is that you do an unleash your powers roll. And if you succeed, then you suck energy from people
you
unintentionally.
Successfully drain us.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah.
Could I counter? I think she will be drawing energy from you no matter what.
Yeah. But... Oh, yeah. This is just how bad it is.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. That makes sense.
Cool. Uh-oh.
Did you get?
It's a hit.
Yeah.
Okay. I rolled a 9.
Okay. Yo. So that's wow.
That's a big old success.
Right. So yeah. As you suck power from Minnie, we can resolve the question, but as you're like falling into your vision, you have this very strange vision of like you feel like you're falling through this flying city of like bright, strange lights, floating shapes, and people with incredibly passive, emotionally intelligent, like annoyingly emotionally intelligent faces coming around saying, Minnie, are you all right?
Oh my god.
And this strange, like, and they're flying. It's all very odd. But that passes in a second. And then you're within your vision.
Amazing.
Does it look like, I mean, I know, again, whether we can react quickly enough, I don't know, but does it look like Bluebell is going to get hit with this as well? And are Adib and myself getting hit with it?
Well, do you think that you step forward quick enough? Are you close enough? Or are you on the other side of the room?
I'm pitching for if Bluebell is like in the splash zone, as it were, and I am not, I am pitching for a defend roll to sort of get a clear and take it myself. But I also don't maybe know enough about Morgan's powers to like know what's going on also. Yeah. So that's
I am imagining Bluebell being kind of quite far back. She's not as part of the group as you are. She's not as integrated in the group as you are. So she's like listening and she's trying to like, she's trying not to hinder you in any way, but she's also, yeah, she's just kind of keeping back a bit. So yeah, I think you would all be the closest people to Morgan at this moment. Right. And also Adib is presumably like on the couch. So I don't know whether you are gathered around the couch or whether you're standing a bit further away.
Cool.
So is anyone going to be directly touching Morgan as she goes into the vision?
I think it's just, if it's just Minnie, the other people can step forward, but if Minnie is closest, which seems quite likely in terms of like how they'd be walking around, Adib's sleeping, like... Joseph is always a bit further back, both emotionally and physically. Like,
I think my move will be as I see Minnie touch Morgan and then, like, I assume pass out.
Yeah.
I will catch them. I'll grab Minnie before they, like, you know, fall on the floor.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Nice. So yeah, as you fall into this vision after seeing this strange apparition of a planet so far from like many light years away, you are suddenly sucked into this black void, and instantly you are surrounded by like peeling wallpaper, the smell of mold. You can see that this is some kind of apartment that is very run down. There are a couple of mattresses laid out on the floor, and you can see a young man who matches the description that Bluebell gave. He is in his supervillain outfit with the neon green skull on it. He's on his phone, and as your vision kind of swerves around him, you can see over his shoulder and you can see that he is looking at a floor plan of the Chapter Central Hospital. And you can see him kind of planning out routes, and he does one of those, this is very incongruous, but he does one of those Google Maps things where he's like, arrive by X time at the hospital, and you can see that he's like set it for 10:30 p.m.
tonight.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay.
And as your vision kind of zooms out, you get a very brief flash of the front door of this apartment building, and it's one of those tenements where it has a single door number and the door number is 12. You don't get a good view of like what the street name is or anything, but you know it's number 12, it's a tenement building, it's a rundown area. So that's the information that you glean from that vision. And you do, yeah, you mark Doom, and then you can also mark another one as Minnie
Funk
falls down to the floor, but is just caught by Zenith as he notices that she's collapsing backwards. And on that note, I believe we're going to end the episode there.
Uh-oh.
So, oh no.
I love to end an episode unconscious.
Right.
It's very restful.
I love it.
It's very restful.
Yeah. Just have a nice snooze in between episodes. All right. Yeah. Thank you so much for listening once again to Chapter and Multiverse. And I would like to ask our fabulous players where we can find them on the internet, starting with Ahmed.
Hi. You can find me everywhere at Mr. Aljabri, mostly on Twitter, where I share Arab tidbits to use for tabletop RPG characters and world building. Just find the avatar with the turban.
Wonderful. And Lori.
Hey, you can find me on Twitter at LoriTweets and on various other Rusty Quill projects.
Beautiful. And Pip.
Hi, you can find me at Pip_Gladwin on Twitter and all over the podcast universe. Find me. You know, I'm so bad at this. I'm really sorry, Mum.
I am Lydia Nicholas. You can find me on Twitter at LydNicholas or Urban Chooks. Podcast-wise, I'm on this and The Town Whispers and other Rusty Quill things.
Wonderful. All right. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Maddie_abstract, where there are links to all the various things that I do. And we hope to see you next time on Chapter and Multiverse. But until then, from all of us here in the space between worlds, goodbye.
Chapter and Multiverse is a podcast distributed by Rusty Quill and licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution, Non-Commercial, Sharealike 4.0 International License. It is directed by Maddie Searle and produced by Natasha Johnston, with executive producers Alexander J. Newell and April Sumner. The Eternal Tavern Keeper was played by Kareem Cronfley. This episode was edited by Lorianne Davis, Katie Seaton, and Maddie Searle, with music by Nico Vertese. Thank you for listening.